Hello and welcome to another Thought for the Day from New Milton Evangelical Free Church. Let's pray as we come to God's Word this morning. Our gracious Heavenly Father, again we come to you with fear and joy in our hearts. Fear because you are a mighty God and one by no means to be taken lightly. And joy because we are allowed to approach you because of your sending of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, into our world, so that he might save us from our sins and bring us into your presence, so that we can call you Father and enjoy your Spirit in our hearts and live to the standards you require by his grace, by his power. Be with us as we read your word and help us to understand it and apply it to our living. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're reading Joshua chapter 9, and I have to confess it's quite a long chapter, but it's so good that I'm going to read all of it. We're focusing on verses 14 and 15. I'll read it quite quickly, so do follow along. Have your open Bible in your hand. Now when all the kings west of the Jordan heard about these things, the kings in the hill country in the western foothills and along the entire coast of the Mediterranean Sea as far as Lebanon, the kings of the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites and Jebusites, they came together to wage war against Joshua and Israel. However, when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse. They went out as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks and old wineskins cracked and mended. They put worn patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes. All the bread of their food supply was dry and mouldy. Then they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him and the Israelites, "We have come from a distant country. Make a treaty with us." The Israelites said to the Hivites, "But perhaps you live near us. So how can we make a treaty with you?" "We are your servants," they said to Joshua. But Joshua asked, "Who are you and where do you come from?" They answered, "Your servants have come from a very distant country because of the fame of the Lord your God. For we have heard reports of him, all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, Sihon king of Heshbon and Og king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth. And our elders and all those living in our country said to us, 'Take provisions for your journey, go and meet them and say to them, we are your servants, make a treaty with us. This bread of ours was warm when we packed it at home on the day we left to come to you, but now see how dry and mouldy it is. And these wineskins that we filled with wine were new, but see how cracked they are. And our clothes and sandals are worn out by the very long journey.' The Israelites sampled their provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them live, and the leaders of the assembly ratified it by oath. 3 days after they made the treaty with the Gibeonites, the Israelites heard that they were neighbours living near them. So the Israelites set out and on the third day came to their cities, Gibeon, Kephirah, Beeroth and Kiriath-Jearim. But the Israelites did not attack them because the leaders of the assembly had sworn an oath to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. The whole assembly grumbled against the leaders, but all the leaders answered, "We have given them our oath by the Lord, the God of Israel, and we cannot touch them now. This is what we will do to them. We will let them live so that God's wrath will not fall on us for breaking the oath we swore to them." They continued, "Let them live, but let them be woodcutters and water carriers in the service of the whole assembly." So the leader's promise to them was kept. Then Joshua summoned the Gibeonites and said, "Why did you deceive us by saying we live a long way from you, while actually you live near us? You are now under a curse. You will never be released from service as woodcutters and water carriers for the house of my God." They answered Joshua, "Your servants were clearly told how the Lord your God had commanded his servant Moses to give you the whole land and to wipe out all its inhabitants from before you. So we feared for our lives because of you, and that is why we did this. We are now in your hands. Do to us whatever seems good and right to you. So Joshua saved them from the Israelites, and they did not kill them. That day he made the Gibeonites woodcutters and water carriers for the assembly, to provide for the needs of the altar of the Lord at the place the Lord would choose. And that is what they are to this day. So we have a salient word for the church of God in verses 14 and 15. The Israelites were taken in by this ruse. They believed what they were told. And verses 14 and 15 tell us what they did and what they didn't do. What they did was to actually provide for themselves the evidence that supported their belief that these were people from a far off country, but they didn't inquire of the Lord. So, believer in Christ, when you are judging issues in the world, here is a word for you. Inquire of the Lord, him who gives you wisdom. And the promise of James in James 1 is, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives freely, without finding fault, and fully to all who ask him. When we're making judgments, we need the wisdom of God in dealing with the world. But I want to turn this round this morning. I want to look at it from the point of view of the Gibeonites, because this is an incredible picture of grace and mercy. These people who had heard the reputation of Israel all the way from coming out of Egypt, right the way through all of those decades in which God had provided for them, to the borders of their own country and brought them into the promised land and had defeated these mighty cities in front of them. Here was the God they were now reckoning with. Now, I don't know if you like escape stories. There's that famous film, The Great Escape, which tells the story of this building of the wooden horse in the concentration camp and the digging of the tunnel underneath it, and the mass escape of prisoners from the concentration camp under the ruse of the wooden horse. There are other escape stories in history as well. Let me just mention a few of them. 545 out of 1,004 Japanese POWs escaped from the number 12 POW compound in Kauka, called the Kauka breakout. That was 1944. 1971, a 45 metre tunnel was dug, and 111 prisoners escaped the high security Punta Carretas penitentiary in Uruguay. And that's the largest recorded prison escape in history. More recently, in 2013, 1,000 inmates escaped from the Quefifa prison in Libya. It was kind of like a release of those prisoners by the locals. But in Exodus, we see 600,000 men, plus women and children, who are released from prison, from slavery in Egypt, by the hand of a mighty God. That escape rocked the world. What they subsequently did to the Egyptian army added impetus to this reputation that this God of the Israelites had, and the whole world was in fear of him. So it's no surprise that these Gibeonites were actually quaking in their boots. Israel was coming towards them. They were out of options and they were out of time. They knew that as Canaanites, they were under the judgment of God, and God had promised Moses and Israel that they would inherit the land that the Canaanites presently possessed. So their lives were forfeit and they faced the judgment of God. Now, what do you do when you face God's certain judgment and you are convinced of God's mighty power? Well, what you do is, you only have one option. You try to make peace. You try to cut a deal, as the modern expression goes. They resort to this deception because they have no other choice. I'm not advocating that we do the same, and we'll see that we don't need to. But they send this deputation to Joshua, and what happens is that Joshua, whose name means saviour, ends up saving them, the enemies of God's people. And that's an incredible picture of our salvation. Because if you are a sinner and you have not come to terms with your sin yet, you are under the judgment of God. It's coming for you, it's certain, and the God who presents it, who presses this judgment, is the God of heaven and earth. He did all of these mighty things that you see recorded in his word, and he's coming for you to judge you for your rebellion against him. And here is the challenge to every unbeliever who is listening to this morning. What are you going to do about the coming judgment of God? Somebody I was talking to about this said, okay, believe in God is one thing. Why should I bother with Jesus? And my answer in a moment was this: Jesus will judge you. You will stand before Jesus Christ, the risen Son of God, and answer for your time, answer for your attitude and your rejection of this living God. What will you do? Because you need to do it now. Make peace with this God before his judgment descends upon your head. You don't know if you will have tomorrow. You may die tonight. You don't know whether you will reach the end of tomorrow. You may die tomorrow. Your days are numbered. You are faced with this imminent judgment. So make peace with God by approaching him on his terms. Now, you don't have to deceive God. You have to come to God through his Son, Jesus. And rather than you sending a deputation to him, he, as it were, sends his deputation to you. He brings you the gospel. Jesus Christ died for your sins so that you can be forgiven. He shed his own blood upon the cross so that your sins can be paid for with the price of his life. And he rose from the dead to prove that he has the power to execute this judgment. Today, unbeliever, non-Christian, whatever you term yourself to be, follower of another religion maybe, you're not believing in the right God. The Lord of heaven and earth is the one to deal with, and you need forgiveness at his hand. So these people, Joshua says, because of their deception are under the curse. But look at this. The curse of God in mercy is better than the judgment of God in wrath. You see what they become? Servants of the temple, the worship place of the living God. God doesn't place you under a curse if you come to him through his Son. He pours blessings upon your head. Grace upon grace, measure upon measure, abundant life to be lived to the full to his glory. Come to him today and believe in Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven by which you may be saved. Amen.